May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 611. Lord, I freely would confess, I am all unrighteousness, base and vile from head to feet, full of pride and self-conceit. 611.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Gospel according to Luke, the part of chapter 24. We commence our reading at verse 13. Luke 24, from verse 13 to verse 29. We read Psalm 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, that their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, that him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. We turn to the Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, the everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. Amen. Lord, do grant to us that needful help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, leave us not to pray without indited prayer. Leave us not, Lord, to come without that heavenly boldness of those that are found coming unto Jesus. But, O Lord, leave us not to presumption. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt gather us together, Lord, on this Sabbath evening. Lord, as we have read, may indeed Jesus himself draw near. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless the same truths, the same coming of him who drew near and went with them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt come with all thy mercy and thy forgiveness, thy help, thy grace, and do come, Lord, where sinners are. And, O Lord, do grant the riches of thy grace. And, Lord, do grant the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, we would seek to rightly come before thee with confession unto repentance. Lord, do grant to us some gracious understanding. Lord, that thou art able. Lord, and some gracious knowledge with those that were able to say that he hath done all things well. And Lord, we seek that thou would not leave us, but Lord, to come and open the book. We have the privilege, we have the written word. O Lord, we need Christ through the lattice. Need thee, Lord, to open our understanding. Lord, it's the same Jesus. And we need renewing. We need, Lord, sins forgiven. Need thee, Lord, to come where we are and grant to us the blessings of thee, Lord. Oh, and how they make rich. Lord, may it be so. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each one. Those, Lord, of whom can be said, I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. That generation of them that seek him. Lord, remember, we pray those that would seek thee above all things else beside. But Lord, remember those that have long sought and feel that their names must be left out. Lord, so tried that they feel that thou dost not hear their prayers. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember those that pass through the valley. Lord, so many valleys. Lord, we think of those that know the hidings of thy face. Those, Lord, that feel, or that the way is dark, and Lord, there is so much that stands between. And do, Lord, remember such that come with dear Jacob, that halt upon their thigh. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember all in affliction. Lord, all in tribulation. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant that needful help, sanctifying grace. And how we pray, Lord, that thy good hand, thy healing touch, the continuation of thy divine goodness, thy blessing upon the means used, but all according to thy will. And we pray, Lord, for that continuation of thy great goodness. And we have much cause to thank thee, but much cause to seek unto thee. We pray, Lord, for those unable to be with us. And we pray, Lord, for those, again, that are far from us. Remember the two lads, and we pray that thou wilt be round about them, a wall of fire, a glory in the midst. Lord, we seek unto thee for those that are laid aside in age and infirmities. Lord, be their God and be mindful of them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember those that have many, many thoughts, and at many fears too. Lord, remember any in the path of adversity. May Jesus be with them in it. Lord, we seek for the young, thou be mindful of them each, and grant the fear of the Lord, and lead them, Lord, in thy path. And may it please thee, Lord, to bless them, and may they be pillars in thy house and mothers in Israel. Bring back prodigals with thy almighty power. O Lord, it's the influence of the world, the things of it that come so much upon our young people. Lord, it's a day when we have to seek unto thee, that thou'lt overrule, and that thou'lt remember us. Lord, we pray that thou'lt appear. That, Lord, do keep our young people. Lord, do bless each one, we pray. Lord, we look to thee for the causes represented, that thou'lt be mindful, Lord, where thy name is faithfully recorded. Lord, remember each one and each cause represented. Lord, we humbly pray that thou wilt still grant thy word may a free course and be glorified. Lord, to bless thy truth. Hear prayer for the churches. O Lord, we seek for our land thy mercy. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be mindful of us, and remember us. And Lord, we do desire especially this evening there might be a sweet flowing together. We might lose sight of all men save Jesus only. Lord, that we may be enabled to preach by thy help that glorious man. Lord, we read of him, Jesus Christ the same. How fickle we are. Lord, how great our sins. And thou art that one that is the same. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet be mindful of us in thy loving kindness. Oh, how great. We desire, Lord, to bless thee for thy many mercies. We desire, Lord, to thank thee for thy forbearance and for thy kindness, Lord, but what poor returns have we. Lord, what need we have of thy precious blood. Cleanse us thoroughly. And we pray, Lord, that thou help us thus with prayer and praise to approach unto thee. But Lord, leave us not. There are those words that we think upon especially, but him they saw not. O Lord, do grant to us the benefit of the empty tomb, but may we know something of that sweet truth that Jesus himself drew near and went with him. The Lord, remember us now as we call upon thee and feel our poor prayers, Lord, to be so poor. Lord, so much in need of thy mercy and thy help. And O Lord, may it please thee to remember us in thy mercy. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 990. Jesus, now thyself reveal, manifest thy love to me, make me Saviour, make me feel all my soul's delight in thee. 990.
please to help me, I will direct your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24. We read again from verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The chapter and the verses that we have read seem to be upon our mind and spirit, I hope we can say. And one of the brethren indeed mentioned before we left the vestry the words, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent." What a well-known chapter. How many times the servants of God have spoken from this glorious part of God's word. How many things have been brought out, fruits new and old. How much that has been said in the name of Jesus. How many blessings the Lord may indeed have granted from his holy word. But friends, there is still a fullness, and the Lord is pleased to still grant the precious truths that are in this word to the reviving of his dear people. The words that especially led me to this chapter are in those words that we have read. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. And what a glorious truth is recorded there. How justly the Lord may have gone further. Justly may he have left us in the ways of sin to reap the due rewards of our sins and iniquities. How justly may the Lord have left us in our lost estate. But his loving kindness, oh how great. But they constrained him. God-given, living prayer. Much of the Holy Spirit's indicting are to constrain and to call upon the Lord from heaven. And Jesus, we read in another place, and stood still and commanded him to be brought. Friends, that ever poor sinners should prevail at the throne of grace, that ever the Lord should have regard to the poor when he cries, that ever he should regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Friends, is it so with you and me that by God's invincible grace the Lord has been pleased to lay aside his just judgments and to come where sinners are? And sinners can say, only they, how precious is the Saviour. But they constrained him. You know, this beautiful word that stands out to us in James chapter 3, where we read of the Lord Jesus, is that wisdom which is from above, first pure, then peaceable, gentle. But oh friends, it's this, that principally it belongs to the Lord Jesus, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits. And I speak of the essential truth of it. He is the fountain of wisdom, the God of all grace. Indeed, we read of him, but he giveth more grace. In this chapter, as we have noted, there are those beautiful verses that speak of the Lord, that are drawing near, just two of them. But where two or three, we read, were gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And he overtook them. And he came where they were. And friends, in the sweetness of the account, they were pouring out their hearts to one another, but soon their hearts burned within them. As they talked together, all these things which had happened, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know, that's a lively illustration of this little church. Now, the beginning, we may say, of the New Testament church, and Jesus himself drew near. And friends, can we not say that he still does? Or else, surely, we would be concerned. And may the Lord appear to the churches. Jesus himself, none other. But oh friends, it's the truth of it, isn't it? He drew near and went with them. And then as we think again upon these verses and come in toward our text, you know, there are many sweet things, but there's one thing ever so clear. It was the suddenness of his appearing. It was at that time when the hearts of the disciples were so cast down, and soon the Lord himself appeared. And friends, the truth of it surely is this. It was according to the glorious truth of his coming. Here is a messenger of the covenant that shall suddenly come to his temple. And I think of the hearts of his dear people. How soon the Lord is pleased to remember his dear people. Friends, here are the blessings of the empty tomb. Here, in the words of this beautiful chapter, so well known, there is much that sets forth, friends, our great high priest, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. You see, here the Lord appears, but in such a way that these disciples were so cast down that they did not know him. Friends, says, sin, trouble, and everything conspired to bring you so low that you cannot seem to hope that the Lord may appear. That you feel you've sinned away all his goodness and mercy, or some particular great trouble has so enveloped you and so brought you as those disciples to talk together of all these things which had happened, that their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Friends, what a deep malady it is, isn't it? The sin and unbelief. Some of us know it so much. Oh, and it's when it seems, doesn't it, that the Lord is afar off. And as Jeremiah says in the Lamentations, that God hath set, he set me up from the ark with her. Surely against me is he turned. Perhaps I know not. Perhaps there are those that feel that the Lord remembers his people. He has a cause, that he has a people, but everything seems to indicate that he regards you not. Well, friends, in this beautiful chapter, it's the suddenness of his coming. Not before his time, but not after. Oh, many sermons have been preached on that beautiful word. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Well, the Lord grants us some gracious knowledge of his appearing with them. His loving heart engaged to be their everlasting surety. The Lord of life and glory, Lord of hosts. Oh, that almighty and glorious one that rose triumphant over sin and death and hell and the grave. And may our sins be included too. Rose triumphant over them. We tried to speak recently of that great transaction. He put away sin by calling those sins his own, to suffer, bleed and die, and to redeem a people to the glory of his grace. And then, coming to our text, he addresses his people. What does he call them? O fools, and slow of heart to believe. I don't believe, if the Lord has a purpose of grace toward us, that we'll find fault there. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. These are words that the Lord speaks, and how precious they are. The wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then we come to our text. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, friends, it's with our God to answer those things, answer questions by his own. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? The many words that the Lord has spoken, indeed he has spoken in his word many things, and many questions too. But there's something precious, isn't that? The Lord should speak to his people in such a way that in a question, questions are put out of question, or in such a way as to reveal himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Well, not only did he draw near, but he spoke to them. And he said, as we read, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another? And I said, that is the question that is before us, isn't it? And then John, one of the disciples, said, art thou a stranger in Jerusalem? Knowest not what things have come to pass there in these days? And then he said another question, what things? All to open their hearts and to speak unto them in such a way as should draw their hearts to him, and should speak those things which were concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And we may say that there are many things that are hard to be understood, like questions that lead us unto Jesus Christ, sanctified trials. Many things which are too hard, may have a question mark over them. Why this and why that? Does not the Lord take of all these things and then speaks unto them in all their troubles and reveals himself as he does not unto the world? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, they said, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. We read how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And that, friends, in their poor hearts was the end of it all. Those wicked hands, that malignity of those that delivered him up and those that crucified him, nailed him to that cross of and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Well, it does seem to me that there is so much sweet truth in this chapter, if we put it to the hearts of those that feel, by God's almighty grace, that feel that they're at the wit's end and that the Lord is removed from them. Oh, they trusted that it should be he that should redeem Israel. You know, there's something else that strikes my mind. It could be said, could it not, that, or paraphrase, here was the Redeemer lost, but the Redeemer found. Here was their friend that was taken from them, one that they trusted in, the one that they loved. They loved to hear the things that he proclaimed. They loved to hear the truth, I believe. They heard many things, but now they had to learn the things that they'd heard. Oh, their hopes were lost, and yet soon the Lord appeared. Now their trust, it seemed as if it was undone. Perhaps there's some like that today. They trusted that it had been there. But now the evidence, the things that have taken place, everything conspires to point to this truth. You know, that's earthly, carnal reason, isn't it? We've got so much of it. Legally bound under Mount Sinai, we reason. We try to work out, try to trace, try to understand with carnal nature. Friends, we never shall. God does not purpose it. It's by faith. And it is when Jesus is presented by the wondrous grace of God to live in faith, and that's alone what will do poor sinners good. Well might we say, Lord, increase our faith. There's so much here which belongs to the creature. And soon that the Lord appears to this end, to lead them to himself. In the words of our text, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You know, it's an exceeding great text, isn't it? Completely beyond us in our insufficiency. But by the help of God, let us consider it in sweet doctrine. Thus, it was so appointed. Before the world was formed, before sin indeed entered into the world, that God should dwell with man. That Almighty God should sigh human breath. And that he should appear in the fullness of time, as we heard yesterday. So there's something exceedingly precious, isn't it? Not to be reasoned out, not to be comprehended, but in the fullness of God's time, in the fullness of his way, his purpose, oh, in the fullness of his grace. And is it not contained in this beautiful truth that the Lord condescended to dwell upon this lower world and to dwell with man? And oh, it is that obedience unto his Father. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? So we see the appointing of the dear Redeemer unto Zion. We may hear much of royal appointments and things like that. No, friends, here is a glorious decree. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And so we speak in the truth of this word. We cannot comprehend it. We do not seek to reason it. But, friends, to live in faith is something solid. Something so precious. Divine appointments. God is never behind his time. Never as before. The set time to favour Zion has come. May it be so. In the truth of his word, the time to favour Zion. So it was, friends. Here's the evidence of it. As he drew near. You know, it's a fulfilling. Divine appointments. Everything that concerns our good and gracious God in the truth of his salvation here. Oh, but such fools. so poor, lacking. No, really, they're under Mount Sinai. In all its bondage. Do you know what it is? In all the gloom and doom of it. And all the many things that are revealed to the condemnation of poor needy sinners, and Jesus himself drew near. And so we think of it in that aspect of him coming from heaven itself, from the glories of the truth of it, that thus he must come, who is thus appointed. But it's love, isn't it, that was in his heart. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things according to the glorious truth of Emmanuel, God with us? Who could turn it back? Friends, he was laid in that manger, wasn't he? The glorious truth of it is revealed further in the scriptures. The Son of Man hath come, and the Son of God hath come, and given us an understanding. The lowly babe, the God of Israel. The truth of it is this: in his obedience, he became man to suffer. God could not suffer. God could not forgive. In his strict justice. No. But oh, in the purposes of wondrous grace, what the law could not do. Friends, was sweetly fulfilled before God gave the law, before it was brought by the giving of it at Mount Sinai. This is the glorious truth of it. Friends, God had made a provision. My son, God will provide. And so we see something else, friends. His willingness to come. Leave the realms of bliss. But what, for such fools as these? I mean, his dear people. So foolish. You know, the hymn writer says something like this. My poor head is not good. But he drew near, went with them. But he came where sinners were, left the angels. Friends, sinless, perfect, glorious in that aspect, but he came where sinners were. What for? To get glory to his holy name and save a people to his praise. Now, the matter is one of love, nor is the surety short of love. He loves beyond degree. Well, where's the evidence of it in this chapter? To those that were found on this road, and they couldn't be lower, they couldn't be more cut off and more reduced. But friends, the truth is this: in the gospel, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? With his love and his grace to fulfill all that was appointed of him. And friends, you know, it's the Lord Jesus taking that church upon his heart. Oh, the unworthy name. Friends, such rebels and such sinners, but near to his heart. Friends, that's grace, isn't it? You think of it. We need more than that, really, but you know what I mean. In the truth of it, you see the point that he came to redeem those that were lost and out of the way, ruined in the fall. Yet the hymn writer says he loved me, notwithstanding all. Well, in the first consideration of our text, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? We see the fulfilment of his ancient promise, the glorious truth that the Lord would redeem a people unto himself. You know, in the sweetness of it, he brought that church lost and ruined again unto the Father. And he says, and ye are complete in him. Or maybe know the sweet truth of it. But ought not Christ to have suffered these things? What a depth there is in it. Friends, we really do feel that the truth is sacred ground. What are the sufferings of Christ to you and me? Is there healing in them? Is there a way to God through the merits of him that died? Nailed to the cross of Calvary. And in the truth of it, friends, very sacred ground. Those sins that he called his own were nailed to that cross of wood for the redemption of his church. You know, in all their sin, he redeemed them and carried them in the sweet truth of the gospel and took their sins into the land of forgetfulness. Oh, I desire to set forth just a few things that are contained in this word. Perhaps we must mention that he was delivered up, the just for the unjust. First to Annas, then to Caiaphas, to the judgment hall. And there, as we read in that chapter concerning him, 27th of Matthew, oh, how I think that's a very sacred part of God's word. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe and when they had plaited a crown of thorns upon his head. Or is it not a very, very solemn and sacred part? I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. And they thrust him down upon his head. All those precious truths that belong to him. All the wondrous things that are revealed of him. And does not the Lord ever have his people before him as that great high priest? But yet, we read they plaited a crown of thorns put in his head and a reed in his right hand and they mocked him. Now a dear servant of God preached recently for us. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head, and after they had mocked him. You know, these awful characters, weren't they? Dreadful friends. What enmity in our hearts to him by nature, the God of glory. What sins are revealed here that belong to the Church of God in their native state. Friends, you think about it. Oh, the truth of the matter is this. How low has man sunk, and how greatly the Lord has redeemed the people from the curse of a broken law against sin. And how greatly did they mock and bow before it. Some of us had much to look back on in unregeneracy. But how precious. The truth of our text. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Just a few things belong to this text. And that's the sweet truth of the robe of his righteousness. The friends held by nature with sought for not a stitch of it, and sought for the fashions and the things of this world, and gone with a multitude, unless God has put his fear in our heart and turned our feet to Zion's hill. That's what I wish the dear young people, that the Lord might guide and direct them amongst those that know the preciousness of Jesus Christ, that own him too, and are brought to speak of him. What is that robe of righteousness to you and me? Friends, is it everything to cover every part? And oh, how needful is precious blood to cleanse, as we read, from all sin. No, it's the application, isn't it? The truth of it. Well, some may say, the Lord doesn't apply it to my heart, but I need the Lord to apply the blood of Jesus. Well, does he apply his righteousness to your poor guilty account? You know, it may be said that in our text there's a balance. On one side, our dreadful state, our dreadful need, and the awful judgments against sin. How low does that rest in the balance? On the other, friends, this beautiful text, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, in the hearts of God's people, the Lord is pleased to show them the balance of the sanctuary. Christ all sufficient. And you can't separate his righteousness from the blood of Jesus. Friends, it's one and the same, isn't it? If I may speak so. It's where the blood has been. And also, I do no injustice. But friends, the sweet truth is this. Sometimes the Lord is pleased to show himself so gloriously, like these two on the road to Emmaus, that their poor hearts burn within them. Why? Because of life, because of grace, because of repentance. But oh, friends, it's that fullness, isn't it, that meets in Jesus Christ. Do we read that he applied the blood of Christ? And friends, he brought the very truth of it to their inmost soul. Ye are complete in here. Now, the Lord help me to say this. But friends, the Lord lead us into it. Guide us. Direct us into the sacred truth of it. But it's in the way, isn't it? It's in the way to God. It's in the purposes of God to reveal himself yet more and more, as he does not unto the world. And how those that have been with Jesus complain so much of sin. Wouldn't think, would you, the natural man, to say, well, that's a poor prayer. Doesn't seem to know anything of the blood of Jesus, friends. The truth of the matter is the blood of Jesus brings repentance. That's the sweet truth of it, friends. God will pronounce the lepers clean. And he will put his merits to their lost accounts. And know the balance. Do you know what the balance is? Friends, firstly, your sins weigh so heavily. Impossible things. And yet, Jesus himself draws near. Friends, then, I believe that the balance is, oh friends, they soon tip, don't they? Soon the Lord puts the sweetness of his name to unworthy names, puts his righteousness to the great accounts of his people, and pronounces them just. Through the merits of the Lamb, something to learn more and more. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Well, these things that are spoken of, are they not those things that he suffered? The just for the unjust. Are they not those things which belong to him, as none other could suffer? Jesus in the sinner's place. Friends, it is sacred ground, but it's the things that he endured. The sorrows that he endured, no tongue can tell. Friends, it's a sacred truth that the Lord was manifested as that one to put away sin and to atone, to redeem a people by the shedding of blood, set them aside. You know, in the sweetest truth and most sacred truth, to make the balance up and to redeem a people to his praise, cancel all their debt. That the dear hymn writer says, with Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Then we read something profound, and to enter into his glory. The psalms seem to come to mind, thinking of this latter part of our text. Who is this King of Glory? You know, it's a sweet title that belongs to Jesus alone. King of Glory. Now, why is he thus called the King of Glory? Well, he is the Lord of hosts. He is so great that he is exalted. But friends, there's something else, isn't there? The Lord satisfied all of his Father's strict justice and judgment and put glory to a broken law. Made it up, friends, in such a glorious way as if sinners had never sinned, but what a debt they owe. And so that broken law is a law satisfied. It is a law fulfilled. There's a law that God has given, but friends, in the wondrous purposes of God, it's a glory to God in the fullness of his grace to restore his people and to bring them upon the merits of Christ alone. And that's not all. He brings them to God, so ruined, so undone that they've got a debt, not to Moses now, not to the law, but to his grace. Oh, to grace, how great a debt. Daily I'm constrained to thee. You know, friends, I'm very, very poor. But I do think that sums it up. What a debt we are. Though God never expects it to be made up, friends, the truth of the matter is, he paid the price, the ransom, with his own heart's blood. But he brings poor, ruined sinners to glory. The King of Glory doesn't dwell there alone. He is captain of the host. He has brought a rebellious seed, full of enmity and full of deadness to God, to be at his right hand. It's called the Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven, presented before the Father in the merits of the Son, complete in him, friends, with justifying grace, by justifying faith in Christ, that their lot is amongst those that have been with Jesus, not going before him, but they have been with Jesus, just as it is in this chapter. Oh, the glory is this, to his great and holy name. The wondrous truth of it is this, that he is exalted. May it be so in the church of the living God. He was made known of them in breaking of bread. Their eyes were open. They knew him. Friends, that's what we need, isn't it? And they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? Now went by the way, not the ways of sin, but the straight and narrow way. Mourning hearts in the way of life, in the truth. That's it. Belongs to him. Jesus himself drew near, and he opened to them the scriptures. But may the Lord grant a little opening of the truth and bless the word of his grace. I must leave just a few things. Amen.
The collection last Lord's Day amounted to £635, and the collection yesterday for the Gadsby Memorial Fund for £765, for both of which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ridout next Lord's Day. Hymn 1011. My God, the spring of all my joys, the life of my delights, the glory of my brightest days, and comfort of my nights. 1011.
the day is far spent. Lord, so we pray that thou wilt remember us as we leave thy house. Lord, let not thy word and truth be lost, but grant to us more grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.